Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Just when I thought it couldn't feel any worse, I think Brad and Kyle are going to make us feel worse. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Brad Northman, Strofe's running the show. Get us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. See our beautiful faces there. The Carbless Talk and Text Line is always open for you, 800-990-3776. Liss is more. Something caught my eye, and I didn't know what it was, but I'm glad I asked Bradley as soon as he sat down next to me at around 1 o'clock today. Please just enlighten all of us on whatever crow means.
Yeah, crow stands
for... This might start boring, but I promise it's worth your time.
Oh, it's going to rev up. Crow stands for the Center of Research on the Wisconsin Economy. So that might glaze your eyes over, but you're going to want to listen up because this neutral third party... basically judging and evaluating the Wisconsin economy, wrote about it. I did a study and an article that they then published called The Impact, the Economic Impact of the Badger Football Team's Declining Performance. And you might just think to yourself, well, just my Saturdays are ruined by watching the Badgers. No big deal. Nobody's hurt. It's really no big deal. But this organization, their study and their findings are shocking, absolutely shocking. They talk about how the decline has become so bad that the poor performance threatens to cut football profits by up to $20 million annually. $20 million is how much the football team will likely lose. They make about $60 million per year. So that 60 will go to 40. So they will have $20 million less of annual profit going forward.
That's one third. That is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And just as you keep in mind, I know the big question was, well, Luke Fickell's buyout, $25 million. That feels like a lot of money. Put that in perspective as we're talking about these things. Not only that, I talk about the university-wide ramifications, alumni relations, cascading down of less money for the athletic department for less other programs to be funded because you're making less money because that's your major cash cow is the football team. But this is the one that was really eye-popping, right? Because it's one thing to have it square in the face of the university and the football team. They're making the choice. Therefore, they have the repercussions of whatever they decide. The economic ripple effects for the community in the state is shocking. They estimate that there would be an economic shrink in activity in just Madison of $160 million for bad football performance. And when you think about it, it's true. I see bars less populated. I see less people at the game. Merchandise, all restaurants, everything is cyclical.
Hotels. People traveling in for games because it's a must-see event.
Exactly. And talking about traveling for games.
Must close your eyes event right now. Nailed it. Ha ha.
Economic shrinking of $160 million for Madison statewide. $280 million each year to the state of Wisconsin because of reduced visitor spending, game attendance, decreased tourism, merchandise sales, and this is a pretty damning sentence here, a weakened reputational situation for the university and Wisconsin as a whole.
Yeah.
The entire economic state taking a hit because the Wisconsin Badger football team struggling. So as to sum up, $20 million less per year because of the football team, but the economic ripple effects throughout Madison and the state are jarring. It's something that you can't toy around with. If anything, it creates a real sense of urgency that if you're going to move on, turn the page, and fire Fickell, then you got to do it, and you got to do it quick.
You want to cry.
You better believe that he has to turn things around ASAP, right now. No time to waste.
I do want to put this out there again for those to know. I want your thoughts. When it comes to the Badgers, are you trusting the process with Luke Fickell and Chris McIntosh, or are you ready to move on? That is the poll on Twitter at KBN ESPN. My somber tone is because of what Saturdays meant and how it's hurting everybody.
Yeah, Saturdays are over because of Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell is doing more than just killing a football program, gentlemen. He's killing a whole damn state economy. That is what losing is doing at the University of Wisconsin right now. Brad just said the school, the athletic program is losing $20 million. The city of Madison is losing $160 million and the state is $280 million. Guess what? If anybody else ran a business that lost that much money, you know what they would do? That'll be fire. That'll be fire instantly. And somehow we got people in with around the athletic program looking at these numbers and thinking it's okay. This man is doing more than just killing football. He is killing the economy of the state of Wisconsin, and we cannot go for it any longer. It's just ridiculous that we're doing this. But then you talk about the $20 million gap. Bro, that right there, that $20 million gap, you can fill that easily if you get rid of Fickell. I promise you. I promise you. Luke Fickell problem is not going to go away. Luke Fickell will not work at Wisconsin. It will not work at Wisconsin. You got to get a whole new energy around this program right now because of the fact that he has come along and he has destroyed relationships with alumni. He has destroyed the fan base and their hope and aspirations for winning a championship. And then this football team is not playing for the pride of the W. So when you see numbers like this, it's more than just the fact that this team has only won two football games and haven't won a Big Ten football game. No. We're talking about millions and millions of dollars that are impacting the state of Wisconsin. If I'm the governor of the state, if I'm the mayor of damn Madison, you know what I'm doing? I'm making one call, that's all, to Chris McIntosh and the president of UW-Madison to say, y'all
got chancellor?
The chancellor. The chancellor. Rebecca. Becky, that's her name, right?
No.
It used to be Rebecca.
Mamonin, what's her first name now?
Jennifer Mnookin.
I just know she came from Notre Dame. I keep talking about Rebecca. But yes, you gotta fire Luke Fickell.
It's a huge decision with tons of ramifications, and I'm right there with you. I don't know how this team turns it around. This program turns it around, and it's a lot of people are losing a lot of money in the meantime.
Right now on the poll, when it comes to the Badgers, are you trusting the process with Luke Fickell and Chris McIntosh, or are you ready to move on? Trusting the process? 19% of people. Ready to move on? 81% of people. Why are you hyping up 19%?
The quiet minority.
It is a very, well, I'd say I see a little bit when I do talk about the Wisconsin Badgers, but like.
Can I just say, I voted for trusting the process, but not by choice.
What does that mean?
I'm ready to move on, but it's very clear they're not going to.
But so the question is, are you trusting the process? Are you, or are you just doing it because you have to?
Or I'm not just doing it because I have to.
So you're saying you think they're going to trust the process, but you'd prefer to move on.
I don't know that that solves anything either, so it seems like they're coming up with a contingency plan.
No. The longer this drags on, the more
when you say this, what do you mean?
This regime of coach and management structure. Because honestly, when I say management structure, these are run like professional businesses now,
for sure.
With the players, with the money, with the coaching, with how you have to get guys. The way it's structured, the longer this goes, the more it tarnishes everything you've built and makes it even harder to build back
up.
And the economic thing that Brad just shared, that's only going to get worse
for
everyone.
If
anything changes, guess what people do? Huh, all right, I can re-engage back in. Let's see what we got. Let's see who's here. Let's see who might want to be here. Let's see who is coming in for interviews. What's being talked about? Who's going to be like, there starts to be a buzz around bringing something back that is literally dead.
There's hope.
Dead.
So I guess I want to point out a few things that McIntosh has done aside from obviously this football miss, because it seems like he's now in the crosshairs maybe even more so than Fickell. The new facilities are being used as a recruitment tool. There's a commitment to assets to help the football program. And then the rejuvenation of the basketball program and obviously volleyball and women's hockey has been good. Does he get any credit for any of those things?
Guys.
As long as football
is the third
bad.
Thing doesn't matter. Football is everything.
Yeah,
it is driving money for the school to be able to support all of those other things. Those other things become more of a cost that you're thinking about than an investment about the future, because you can't support it anymore because the revenue's not coming in from the major sport that you have. Facilities? Guess who doesn't give a damn about facilities when you look at you're the 18th best team in the Big Ten with what you've shown on the field through 2.5 years? Recruits, transfers, anyone there. Putting assets into the program? Who in their right mind thinks putting assets into what we've seen is going to change anything? I guess I can't speak for those with money. because I am not one of them.
Yeah, you can't put your assets into this right now because it's just the program's bad. Right, it's a bad football program. It's not a good investment, and that's why you have to move on. And when you look at other schools, it's just crazy to me. Again, Wisconsin isn't LSU. Wisconsin isn't Penn State. But the fact that you see all these other schools have a sense of urgency of firing their coaches, Virginia Tech firing coaches because what the product on the field is not good enough. Wisconsin needs to get with the program, or they're going to get left behind. It's going to have lasting impacts.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to hear Brad out. He says it's the greatest one he's ever put together.
Best one I've ever had.
And then we're going to go to Rob Domofsky, the bold, the bald, the beautiful. Should be able to see his face on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison. That's the plan coming up next year. That was sad, but just the truth. More next.
That was beautiful, Ben.
This is Kyle Brusten Nortman, KBN.
I legitimately understand sugar.
Is it good, Brad?
It's unbelievable. It's so good. I'm changed. Not for the better.
Come on.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Nothing like heading over to the Princeton Club, whether it's in the Madison area locations or in the New Berlin location in Milwaukee. You walk in. They're friendly, the vibe is high, the environment is great, and plus they provide everything you need to have a successful health journey. No goal is too big or too small. Simply get that tour. You're going to fall in love with everything. Love sometimes going on the weekend just to get a sweat in, and then also just sit in the steam room, sauna, whichever one I'm feeling, because they have something for everyone. Have that strong body, have that strong mind, and help provide a strong community by joining the Princeton Club. Free childcare with the membership, open 24/7. Literally, go check it out. It is a perfect place for you, wherever you're at, to find a better tomorrow. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, Strofe running the show. YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Cardless Talk and text line 800-990-3776. It's time now to hear from the punter. Let's hear Brad out.
They say punters are people, too.
Punters are worthy of breaking news.
No, really, that's what they say.
Raising awareness everywhere that punters are people, too.
Okay, let's go to it. Time to hear from the punter. Time to hear Brad out.
All right, guys.
Wow!
That might have been that, I don't think I heard anything other than one voice right there.
We wow. are one.
We are one.
We are one.
That is a heck of a start for what is being dubbed the greatest Hear Brad Out ever.
This is the greatest
Hear
Brad
Out.
Why do
this? You know how this works for Strofe when he overhypes things.
This
is an
overhype.
It sets too high of a standard.
This is the best Hear Brad Out of all time, and I'm going to tell you why. Guys, Friday is Halloween. We all know that. One of the best Halloween traditions is trick-or-treat. But let's be honest, guys. Trick-or-treat, it's gotten lame. It's gotten mundane. It's gotten repetitive. And it's gotten to a point where it needs to get changed. Kyle, what's with the face?
Well, I hate Halloween, so I'm open to this.
No! Did you just hear a 36-year-old man say, Halloween has gotten old, it's gotten
trick
lame.
Let me say this.
Okay, you think a 6-year-old feels the same way?
They may not know any better, because when I grew up, we used to go on Halloween and be out at night, and now they like
Milwaukee's doing that.
No, wherever I am, it's like Sunday from 1 to 4, and you sit outside, and it's just weird.
Yeah, it's lame. I believe in Halloween trick-or-treating specifically. I should have never opened up the floor because it's lost my mojo already. Trick-or-treating has gotten mundane, repetitive. You just go to the door, trick-or-treat, here's your candy. By the time the kid gets to house number 20, not interested. By the time you get kid number 20, you're just chucking them candy. It's not even trick-or-treat. I'm going to reinvent trick-or-treat the way it should be. Truly trick or truly treat. In this revitalized, re-envisioned trick-or-treat, here's what's going to happen. You go to the door. You go, ding-dong. Open the door. You have two options. You either get a fun-sized candy of your choice, right? That's the treat portion. Or the trick. And here's what the trick is. You can choose as the house whatever you want to do, but you create some kind of game of chance that the person can either win big or walk away with nothing or worse. Here's what I envision, guys. I envision, this is almost motivated by the Wheel of Strofe.
I was just going to say, does everyone just need to get a Wheel of Strofe in their house?
You either get a Wheel of Strofe if you really, give it a spin, Strofe. Yeah.
This sounds like every ESPN Madison and Milwaukee street team I've been on. You spin for prizes.
Could you imagine spinning for it? Or you could invest in that if you really want to lean in, or even a deck of cards, you got dice, anything to be able to make it a game of chance. I've even named them. You could put little ping pong balls in a little cauldron, little pot of peril right there you could choose from. Maybe even the Wheel of Misfortune. The Dice of Doom. What these are, though, is you're going to be the kid can choose the fun size candy or the option to a little get a gamble, right? Can, Ben, I know I'm speaking your language. On the gamble are four options.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're playing. I'm the dealer. They're playing blackjack against me. If they beat me, they get candy. They
four
don't.
Options. Here's the risk. $1. $1 is an option on the wheel or on the dice or the deck of cards. A king-size candy bar. Ooh, now we're talking. $1, a king-size candy bar.
I ain't buying no king-size candy.
How about this? I'm not done yet. I'm not done. Nothing. That's the third option. You could walk away with nothing. The final option, you got to give up a piece of candy. So it's a true game of risk. Now, I think this would be fun for kids. Imagine going every single home you go to is going to be a rush. It's going to be a joy. It's going to be exciting. Not this regular old trick-or-treating. It's fun for the adult all night long. You're spinning the wheel. Give me a spin, Strophy. Give me a spin. I need to hear a spin. Yeah, all night long you're hearing spins. It's exciting. It's interactive. It's fun. It doesn't get old. It's a win for everybody. Trick or treat the real way.
All right, I got a lot of problems with this as Matthew chimes in right away. This might be too complicated and it might be too expensive. That's one thing.
I mean,
number two with the four options, win a dollar, a king size, nothing, or give up a piece of candy.
Yeah.
You, of all people, should know that ain't nobody want to deal with no kid having to give up a piece of candy. Tears, crying. What are you thinking right
now? But
this
is good for them to experience.
Hey, trick or treat. Ha ha, you get nothing.
They choose that. They if they want to get the
they
fun
didn't
size,
choose
they
didn't
the wheel
choose
chooses
that.
It or the dice chooses it.
Brett, you know there's some kids around some neighborhoods that wouldn't give you a damn piece of candy. Say, you ain't taking my candy.
And Brad would be like, yeah, you are.
Hey, give me that candy.
Brad,
fair and square.
From the very first moment you opened your mouth talking about trick or treat has become repetitive, bro. Trick or treat's been going on for 100+ years. Of course, it's repetitive, Brad.
It's time it gets disrupted.
Do you think there's any 6 or 5 or 4 year olds or 7 year olds walking around saying, "Mom, Dad, trick or treat's so repetitive. I don't want to do it again this year, huh?" It's not
they
for you.
They always smile because they get what, Kyle?
Candy.
Mm-hmm. Not give up candy or
but
get nothing.
Get candy, Brad. You were at the age of 7 with little Bradley Nortman saying, "I don't want to do Halloween this year."
No. I'm not saying that the trick or treating itself. I'm saying home to home. It's just repetitive.
I'm not putting
an hour
all this
in your
effort.
Board.
So you mean to tell me if a kid goes to 30 houses, they got to spin the damn thing 30 times?
If they want to, they could also just take the candy. They could say the traditional route and get the fun size candy bar. Or
this
you
is a
could
a lot of work for
spin the wheel.
This sounds like a
and you could get a whole range
I feel like
of
Willy
options.
Wonka. You get nothing.
Yeah, imagine
nothing.
The thrill.
This sounds
I
like
I know 7-year-old Kyle, Ben, and Strofe would love to go ding
dong. I would have been spinning that damn wheel.
Spin it. Give me another spin. And then you try to make up for it later. Oh,
no,
get,
nothing. I, so nothing. I feel like Strofe would get nothing and be like, "All right, fine." Goes to the next house. Give me the wheel.
Brad, why don't you just do this at the Norton household?
Yeah, just do it at your house.
I might.
Yeah, this sounds like
a personal
thing.
I might.
You're telling everyone else to do all this work.
I got a wheel you can borrow.
Perfect. I can't wait to take kids' candy.
I can't.
Wow.
If it falls on that.
Wow.
It's good that they learn, right? It's good that they learn a little bit. If you can either take the safe route or you can risk it, but not every risk pays off.
Do you realize if you took a kid's candy, that would be a problem? People would be talking about you in your little neighborhood. Parents would be knocking on your door. Is this the house, Susie?
I don't think you would actually take. I would say, did Susie elect to spin the wheel?
You're gonna have a 4-year-old elect to spin the
wheel of misfortune.
She starts crying. What are you gonna do then?
Say, it's better you learn this now than when you're 34.
Brett, you knew when you did this. This was a bad idea.
No,
right?
This is a great. Wait, are we?
Well,
you're,
let
like,
me get
joking
to some responses
aside,
here on the Carbus Talk and Text
line.
Yeah, kids are going to egg the estate.
Yeah.
Seems confusing if you have a lot of kids. JD and Fondy had a wheel, Plinko, and pickled flavored candy.
Wow. There we
Chris
go.
Chris says you lost me at mundane.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I can't believe you guys don't want to spice up trick-or-treat a little
bit.
No,
it's not
this
about
adults.
This would
be adults. A thrill for kids and parents alike.
It's about the children, Brad. When you're first going through trick-or-treat as a kid, you don't know that it's mundane. You don't know that it's old. I'm sure 30 years ago when little Brad was trick-or-treating, there was somebody out here saying, "Oh, this is so mundane and repetitive. Trick-or-treat again." Like, what are we doing?
Jesse Nelson chimes in, who I can still bash because Oregon beat the Badgers, which is good. Brad just wants a Halloween-themed casino for kids.
It's a great idea.
It's a thrill.
You can do it at the Nortman Estate.
Imagine.
And everyone
the
else, 99.9% of people after hearing this are going to continue to do the exact same things. We'll see what Rob Domofsky thinks, and we'll get to the Green Bay Packers with the bold, the ball, the beautiful Rob Domofsky. Next, I don't know if there's a greatest one ever.
You're listening to Kyle Brusten Nortman, KBN.
And you're disrupting my flow.
No, your flow.
Dang nabbit.
I had good flow.
Gee golly willikers.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
There are certain organizations that can't get certain positions right. The Bears can't get a quarterback.
Bold, bald, beautiful.
I'm one small, bald man.
ESPN NFL Nation reporter Rob Domofsky.
To me, their window is now wide open.
On Kyle Brusten Nortman.
A true pro joining us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison and right here across ESPN Wisconsin on Kyle Brusten Nortman. You didn't see it, but wipe the mustard stains off his face so he looks good and ready to go. Rob, what's going on?
I didn't think I was on camera yet, Ben.
I'm always watching.
Big brother.
Yes. You should know that by now. The camera's always on. The mic's always hot. You know, you never know what's being seen. What's the worst you've been caught on a TV standpoint for a TV hit?
Well, I mean, nothing really on a hit, but like the other day in the press conference in Arizona where I had to get up and leave mm-hmm. in the middle of the floor, and I said, you know, it caught me. I feel like a blank, and I said two different blank words, and that was caught. So, but yeah, other than that, I think it's been good.
We do know you got a loose tongue there with some of your language.
I feel like to do this job, you sort of have to speak the language of the guys that you're talking to, and you guys have all been in locker rooms. You know what it's like. If I walked up to a player and went, excuse me, sir, can you tell me what happened on that play? Versus going, hey, dude, what the F happened there?
Yeah, you know, no, you got it. Yeah. You got it. You got to be a chameleon. Now, something we looked at as, you know, this team's 5-1-1, number one in the NFC, number one in the North. But one thing that stood out is we're looking at this team as how do they become the true front runner here, right? Like they've won games. They have some opportunities against the Eagles, the Lions, the Broncos, who knows what the Ravens look like down the road. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the year over year, they have the second highest variance of change in turnovers. Averaging on a per game basis, only 0.6 turnovers. It was 1.7 per game last year. There was the ball king and everything.
Yep.
What do you think is holding them back from being a true front runner through the seven games that you've seen them?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it's going out and just dominating some people now. That's a big picture. That's the end result. How do they get to the point where they're beating teams convincingly and not just squeaking by and not having to get, you know, a last stop or two to make sure they win the game? Like, to me, it's a couple things. It's you know, stop making the silly mistakes. And sometimes those are penalties. You know, sometimes it's a botched special teams play. Sometimes it's a turnover, although, you know, they haven't turned the ball over a ton. But, like, you know, just when you think that this is a football team that, like, looks really good, they have a half like they did or even three quarters like they did in Pittsburgh, and you're like, boy, man, I don't know about this team. So, you know, I just think it's a bunch of small things. I don't think there's any – you know, it's not like they can't stop this or they can't get pressure on the quarterback or they can't – I mean, I guess you could say they're having trouble running the football, but I don't think – there's anything with this team that they cannot do. It's just a matter of doing it and putting it all together.
Rob, hear Brad out really quickly.
Okay.
Trick or treat, it's become mundane, repetitive. Mm. Kids and adults alike get bored after about 20 houses.
Come by my house and see what happens.
Yeah, is the Domofsky house a thrill?
Well, my kids are in college now, but I'll tell you a real quick story and then I'll let you get back to yours. I met some woman the other day, and she's like, oh, I live in your neighborhood, and my kids love going to your house for Halloween. And I was like, well, why? He's like, because there was somebody sitting on the roof of the second floor throwing candy at kids. Those were my idiot kids were chucking candy.
Hey, that is fun. That don't sound mundane to me.
See, that is spicing it up. So you're going to college, appreciate this idea. So – Friday. instead of just going to the door saying trick or treat and you're, you know, giving candy to them and that's it, yeah. I suggest you can either elect either legitimately a treat and you get that fun size candy bar, or you can elect trick, which is it can be whatever you want. It could be a spin of the wheel. It could be a roll of the dice. Give me a quick a spin of the wheel, Strophy, just so you can get some, yeah, wheel spin. It could be pulling ping pong balls out of a cauldron, whatever it is, but it gives you options. You either get a dollar, a king size candy bar, nothing, or you got to give up a piece of candy, a little bit of game of chance. You can play it safe or you can risk it. I think we need a full cultural change of trick or treat. What do you say, Rob?
Essentially we're teaching kids to gamble.
Yes! Right?
You want to roll the dice, baby. Come
or play
on.
It safe. What do you think Matt LaFleur would do?
Punt? No.
I'm going to go
I was
going
to say take the candy.
I'm going to go
home. You know what? He'd make the decision when he gets there and not have plans.
I'm all in for changing up the a little Halloween and you know, make it, spicing it up a little bit.
Rob, yeah, you like it, Rob.
I think we're two and one with Rob Domofsky, so I love it.
Yeah.
But that leads me to my question. Obviously, trade deadline next Tuesday. This will be the last time we talk to you before then. Already see the Rams and the Eagles making some trades. Any trade rumors around the building, and would you be surprised if they did make a trade before Tuesday?
Brad, no real talk about it here. You know, there are a couple guys that if the Packers were looking to move someone that they might. I mean, like we had to do one of our assignments at ESPN this week was who on your team could get traded. And I threw Sean Ryan out there. This is a guy who's in the final year of his contract and basically lost his starting job to Jordan Morgan. Not a very exciting one. I know when we're talking about interior offensive linemen. But like if I were Brian Gutekunst, I'd be looking for a corner. We talked to Nate Hobbs today, who obviously was benched. And, you know, Hobbs handled it well, but I'm just not sure that they have him playing in the right spot. He was a slot guy for most of the time, and he's trying to play outside. To me, they need another out. They've got too many slot guys and not enough outside corners. If I don't know, you know, what it would take to get, you know, a mid-level starter, but somebody out there that they can have a little bit of confidence in and maybe make a play or two on the back end. Cause I think that, maybe going back to Ben's original question, maybe that's what's missing with this team is maybe they're a corner or a DB away.
That's not maybe, Rob. That's 100% true. Yeah. But thinking about what we're going to do and moving things around, the return of Christian Watson was fantastic for this Green Bay Packers offense.
Yeah.
So with that, though, Wicks is hurt, Jaden Reed is hurt, but these guys are going to come back. Who's the odd man out at receiver? Because they have a whole boatload of them.
Yeah, I mean, the one name you didn't mention there was the first-round pick, Matthew Golden. And, you know, he seems to have become a little bit, you know, maybe forgotten. Look, it seems to me, and Tom Silverstein of the Journal Sentinel had an interesting article about this, I think it was today or yesterday, about how it seems like early in the game, Jordan Love tries to force the ball to Romeo Doubs before he gets other guys going. You know, and I don't think Doubs is the odd man out, but it's a great question. I don't think you could get much for trading Dontavian Wicks at this point. I really don't. I don't know what the upside is to doing that. And then, you know, like how are teams going to start covering them differently or if they do at all with Tucker Kraft? I asked Jordan Love today, I said, after the Washington game where Kraft had his first real big game, did you notice anything different about the way teams covered Tucker? And he said, no, not really. So maybe the idea is just to force the ball to him and force teams to throw extra coverage toward the tight end. And then that gets, you know, some of the other receivers open. I still am curious to see how Christian Watson's long-term return affects the way teams play in terms of the deep ball and opening stuff underneath. But Kyle, as far as who's the odd man out, I think it's a great question. And I wonder if, you know, from week to week, you know, there might be games where Romeo Doubs just doesn't have many targets or, you know, when Jaden Reed comes back, if Matthew Golden doesn't have many or whoever, because look, I mean, when, you know, if you throw the ball 40 times, there's going to be opportunities. If you throw it, what did they throw, 36 times the other, I think it's 36 or 37.
36,
the other
yeah, somewhere around that.
Yeah, like that's 36, 37, sorry.
Nine.
6-7, 6-7.
Word of the year, 6-7 per dictionary.com.
But like, you know, if you have 35, 40 opportunities in the passing game, then maybe there isn't a big problem. But if you have a game where you're, you know, you're 17 to 22 or whatever it is, then there aren't a lot of opportunities. So, Kyle, I think it's a really good question. I just don't know that that I can tell you that for sure that this guy is going to be the odd man out or that guy is going to be.
Rob Domofsky here on Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. See Rob on TV and read his stuff on ESPN.com as the ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Packers. Now, after each week, we do a pulse check. And I want you in totality, because let's try not to be prisoner of the moment, because you know what to do here. Has Jordan Love this year been average, good, great, or elite?
Good to great.
Good to great.
Somewhere
so, you're middling. You're in the very good camp, which we had suggestions for.
Yes.
Why not great? 64% of the vote went towards great.
I think before the game the other day, he hadn't gone on a stretch where he played like really well for over a long period of time. And he obviously did that with 20 straight completions. It was just one of those where you're like, man, he's dealing. While he hasn't had too many of the big mistakes, just the two interceptions. And I don't know that I really blame him for the strip sack fumble. I think that was in Dallas, but I'd like to see him just, you know, really go take it to the next level to be considered great. I think he's on his way. And I think we're starting to get, you know, into some numbers that are pretty, pretty rare numbers in terms of completion percentage, you know, touchdowns, interceptions. But I don't think, you know, I think you just would like to see it over a little bit longer period of time and then him get hot more often. I mean, there were so many times where Favre and Rodgers would just get on these hot streaks where it was just quarter after quarter, game after game, where they were sort of unstoppable. And that's not all on Jordan. I mean, there's certainly the run game, the offensive line. Yeah, but
against the Cowboys, their offense was unstoppable. Last week, they were 5 for 5.
But this goes to the conversation of the Cowboys' defense. Pass defense was bad. The Pittsburgh Steelers' best defense. They were both bottom two.
At halftime of the game the other day in Pittsburgh, you were like, what the heck is wrong with their offense? Like, there's, you know, I mean, they had 7 points, and they were down. Even going to the fourth quarter, they were down, 19-14. So, like, it hasn't been perfect.
Sorry, you know? Rob. Kyle was flying Frontier, so he couldn't watch it.
No TV.
Yeah, it was rough. But no, I just feel like this team is 5-1-1. So good to great isn't – I didn't like the answer, Rob. I thought you were going to say great to elite.
And remember, Rob, if you don't agree with Kyle, then you're just wrong.
Well, Rob, let's see what happens this week.
Rob, you've been, I don't know, good to great was questionable, but agreeing with Brad was even more questionable. Today,
I agree.
So
No, Rob, don't let him bully you.
I can't win with you, Kyle.
Welcome to our lives every day here. Rob, we appreciate the time. Go back to the great media mill you have, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, guys, we'll be seeing you.
That's Rob Domofsky of ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Packers. Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin, and he's great, but you know who's elite? Gina Della from Pella.
Elite is Gina Della from Pella. Always a treat, never a trick with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And you are going to want to take advantage of this deal right now that Pella Windows and Doors are offering you. 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's 5 years of 0% interest. So you get those beautiful, durable, home-changing windows and doors that Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin offers, all with 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's well into the 2030s. And you're going to want to do that sooner than later because winter is on its way. You can feel the crisp in the air. Don't do another winter of drafty home and high energy costs.
Yeah, and let me tell you, the service beyond the installation is there. Joe Franco, my guy, I told him, like, hey, man, there's just something going on with the door. Immediately after the text, I'm getting texts about time so somebody can come by and service the home beyond just the job that they do. They're there for the long haul. They're there for you, just like they've been through being a business through all the ups and downs of the economy over the last 100 years. Pella is the best because it's right there made from Pella. They are the manufacturer, they have all the great warranties, and they have the service to provide you after the job is done with the great financing offers, 0 for 60 right now for you. So visit PellaWI.com. We wrap up the ESPN Wisconsin portion now and get to the 4 on 4 hour at 4 next.
This is Kyle Bruston-Ortman.
Hey, Gabe, also, did you call us idiots?
Yeah, it's exactly what I called you. Yes.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
On Twitter at KBN ESPN. We've discussed how a major donor for the Wisconsin Badgers, Ted Kellner, has put some support behind Chris McIntosh and Luke Fickell. We also learned about the economic impact of the Badgers stinking. Not just the university and the football program profits, not just the city of Madison, but statewide, $280 million. Bars, restaurants, tourism, merchandise, tickets. So we ask you, when it comes to the Badgers, because I'm starting to get into feel, the statement was put out by McIntosh after reading another article from Jim Polzin with Ted Kellner, that things may not change. But when it comes to the Badgers, are you trusting the process with Luke Fickell and Chris McIntosh, or are you ready to move on? 18% are trusting the process. 82% are ready to move on. So when you see that and you feel where fans' opinions are at, and then we sit here and think, well, that may not matter, how does that make you feel as an alum, Brad Norton?
I mean, I just wonder what the 18% are seeing or hoping for, because I've seen nothing but this program descend since the moment Luke Fickell took over. And it's now in a place where you're really in the basement, where, the, as you said, the economic impact of the university, the state, and of course the city of Madison are significantly impacted. So I just wonder, what exactly is going to change from a culture standpoint? And if you say, okay, we're going to infuse more money into it, my question is, where are you going to get that money? If you go and ask NIL, right? So like donors and boosters, that's not an unlimited ask, right? Like, I mean, if you ask this time and it doesn't work, and then you get a new coach, are you going to go back and ask again? I mean, at some point, people need to see return on their investment. So that's where I get a little bit concerned. And if it is money from the university earmarked for the football team, it's just not enough, right? This $20 million that's supposed to go to all sports, you earmark a little bit more to it, you're not going to be able to compete with most of the teams in the Big Ten with it. So you got to infuse culture and development and all the things we've talked about, but that's just not happening. I'm not sure it can happen over just 1 year. This is a thing that should be developed and implemented over time. So listen, I am starting to believe that they will be back. I don't think Ted Kellner says anything like this without knowing what's going on in the inside. So at this point,
He's part of the search committee to bring Fickell in.
I'm assuming they're going to be back next year, but I don't sit here with a whole lot of optimism about what that's going
to
look like.
Yeah, again, a lot of this for me, the way I feel why they need to get rid of Luke Fickell isn't just, again, the product on a football field. That is the main reason, but the development of the football players as well. When you're talking about his recruiting class of 2023, which were a lot of his kids that he brought in, a lot of those guys are gone. The majority of that recruiting class is gone. You're talking about when we look at rankings and recruiting classes, he's had three top 30 recruiting classes since he's been here. So you would think that would translate to at least being a top 30 football program, especially when you're talking about developing guys. But guess what? A lot of these guys have left Wisconsin, and the results on the football field have been poo-putt, bad, terrible, not good whatsoever. So with all that, it's just what does he have good going, right? There's no hope. There's no development. There's nothing that I can point to and say, well, you know, I know we're struggling, but Brad is talking about the schedule next year that has teams that are better than them this year.
Forgot to mention, I saw this 2 hours ago from Rivals. News! Wisconsin four-star running back commit Amari Latimer will take an official visit to Tennessee on Saturday.
Oh, boy. He gone.
Bye.
Why do you sing that so happily?
It's because it's only going to lead to more angst and anger. And
so you're just masking it with happiness, I guess?
I'm a happy fella.
Yeah, I'm not.
The only team that could take that away is the Green Bay Packers.
That's fair, well, and they're in a good
the
spot.
The Brewers and the Bucks, but...
Which, speaking of, Giannis is unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
And that's exactly where I want to go to next, as they played on national television, on NBC yesterday, and broadcast nerd Strofe was really interested to see what that broadcast looked like.
Oh, it looked good. It did. Tirico on a Tuesday night in Milwaukee, you kidding me?
Yeah, I will say, Tirico on basketball without Collinsworth taking up all the time, really good. Jim, Matt, and Molly, they're up next in Madison. The Damn Sports Show's next in Beaver Dam. We are Kyle, Bruston, Ortman. We're going to be with you on 94.5 ESPN and on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Don't go anywhere. We're back in 2 minutes. KBN's the show that never ends.